are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, January 6, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Cliff Schechter. I recount this already burgeoning crap show. And then we're expecting a visit, not necessarily in studio, but via phone, from Judy Gold to rail at this crap show. Also on the program today, evidence of Russian hacking of emails and other United States cyber assets mounts still some holes, at least what we know in terms of the public. And guess who turns out is going to be paying for the wall? That's right, folks. Get your wall cash out. Meanwhile, potential Republican Senate defections on rolling back Obamacare, at least until there's a plan. You know, a plan to replace Obamacare that the Republicans have supposedly had for 5 years. Also on the program today, cabinet hearings dump coming up next week. They don't want you to focus on any of them, and we will help you focus on all of them. Republican attacks civil service with a rule from 1876. It has been dormant in this country for 40 years.
Some people with a long view, I like it.
And Paul Ryan pledges to attack women's health on day one, folks. Meanwhile, a Virginia lawmaker wants to save us all from going to the bathroom in Virginia from the potential of transgender people also going to the bathroom. And Donald Trump, president electoral, takes an intelligence brief and slams the latest version of The Apprentice.
This is so priceless. It's amazing.
All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's next week is just going to be bizarre. And frankly, you know, I think I've spent more time in the past, almost to the day now, 2 months, getting meta about the show than I have in the 4 or 5 years prior. But we're still trying to figure out how we, you know, how we continue to do what we do. And it would be easy for us to just continue to do long-form interviews and just ignore some of the day-to-day news. But a lot of this is important, and I'm not going to, you know, and part of it is also just like looking at the media and saying, you know, there's too many things. I can see mainstream corporate media is overwhelmed. And the default place they head to is the latest tweet controversy. And there are moments where that's funny. I mean, like the Apprentice stuff is, it's funny. And we will definitely talk about it. But the tweet controversies are really, you know, probably secondary. Well, maybe tertiary or quaternary.
Unless he, like, you know, declares war with China.
Joey Cinquish-ary.
Well, he's a great guy, though.
He's a great guy. So, you know, when we're faced with a week like next week, on some level, I feel like we should be breaking format a little bit. On Wednesday of next week, there's going to be four concurrent hearings, five concurrent hearings on cabinet picks. And we'll get into that later, but it'll be Tillerson, Sessions will have his day two, Betsy DeVos will be up, Pompeo, and one more guy, Hughes, is it, from Homeland Security. I mean, all simultaneously. And so, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, like, what do we do? How do we cover that? I just want to lay it out there to just give you a sense of what we're thinking about on a meta level here, and just give you a little heads up about sort of some slight changes to format, just temporarily, anyways. We'll see. We may not even do that. I'm not even sure. But before we get to Cliff, obviously the big story this week has been about the Russian hacking of U.S. cyber assets, including stealing the emails, and the question of whether or not Russia was behind it. And It wouldn't surprise me if they were. I mean, we're doing this stuff too, right? I mean, not even theoretically.
Definitely.
And to a large extent, I'm not worried about Russian-U.S. relations. I don't, if this is just being ginned up, according to Donald Trump, it's being ginned up just because it's a political witch hunt.
Total.
You imagine a president complaining of a political witch hunt a full 15 days before he's even in office? I mean, that's pretty good.
I mean, he's been complaining about a political witch hunt actually forever.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is pretty good, and to that extent, I'm perfectly fine with it. And the big issue now is, or the big selling point that I've been hearing over the past 24 hours is just that, and it seems to be with all the media, and it seems to be with the Republicans trying to get the Donald Trump to perceive what is going on, is that why can't you separate the idea of the election from the hacking? And here is Kellyanne Conway on with Chris Cuomo this morning on CNN. And I have to say, I enjoy this clip for a couple of reasons. One is I find myself wanting both of them to lose the argument. You know, hold on. Because I mean, first off, obviously I'm rather skeptical of the CIA and our 17 intelligence agencies. But I am also extremely skeptical of Kellyanne Conway and the Trump administration. And I don't place a lot of faith in Chris Cuomo either. But let's break this down.
Believing that she was going to be the next president, okay. So let's not disturb.
So shame on them.
Well, they politicized it. Because they didn't even understand America and what was going to happen.
But why can't you divorce who's responsible for the hacks from the implications on the election? It seems to be creating a resistance to the intelligence community. It seems to be motivating them.
All right. So this whole notion of divorcing who was behind the hacks and the implications it had for the election. First of all, I don't blame Trump for not buying this. I hope they do, because obviously it has implications on the election. That's what it's all about. And really, the real issue about this is I'm not terribly surprised that Russia would do this. And I don't think it had a huge impact on the election. I think there was literally a half a dozen other things that had a bigger impact on the election. But what could very well be problematic, and what we don't know, and what we have strong reason to suspect, is that Donald Trump may have a compromised relationship with Russia. Compromised insofar as if he has any secrets, they clearly know them because of his travel to Russia using unsecured devices and whatnot. Compromised maybe because we know that many of their assets are tied up with and commingled with Russian oligarchs. That's what I find really interesting. And here's Chris Cuomo just taking this tack about divorcing the whatever. I mean, good. I disagree with both these guys.
President-elect to disrespect our intelligence agencies, putting intelligence in quotes and saying they ducked the meeting. I guess they needed more time to put together a case. They never ducked the meeting. You know it was always scheduled to be at the end of the week. Sean Spicer said the same thing on this show. It seems like you can't divorce these two notions, and it's creating a really tough situation.
No, I can. I'm perfectly comfortable. I see you're very passionate about this. But
sure I am. Russia trying to hack during our election, being ignored by the president-elect, that's troubling.
Right. No, it's not. And you're just making conclusions up now. Yes, you are.
Has he ever accepted that Russia was behind the hacks? He did nothing but mock the intel community.
Chris, he's not mocking. Listen, you're using words like disparagement, mock the intel community.
Clapper used the word disparagement.
Great respect for the, and that's his opinion. And now you're giving your opinion.
No, I'm saying what he said. I'm just telling you what Donald Trump said and wrote in tweets. Not at all. I love you, Kellyanne, and you know.
You just want to argue with me.
Not at all. I'm trying to put the facts out there because you're ducking the obvious. And I don't know why.
I'm not ducking. Hey, Chris, by the way, not ducking a thing. Not my style. Here's the deal. The president-elect and all of us who work for him and the vice president-elect, I assure you, are against any foreign interference in the United States of America, including through cybersecurity, which obviously has not been a big priority for the last 8 years. Maybe that'll change. Number two, all the DNC had to do was turn over the information the FBI requested, according to, doorbell please, ring, ring, a CNN report that I read. Okay, that's all they had to do. They refused to do that. We know all this because of the DNC emails.
Yes.
And the fact is, you want us to commit to a proposition because somehow to make everybody feel better. About what? Complete the sentence, because you have people on CNN.
That Russia was behind the hacks.
Long.
You didn't even say the word Russia in the last minute and a half.
Oh, my God.
You didn't. You said we're against any foreign opposition, but you didn't say Russia. You talk about the DNC, you don't talk about Russia.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. Like, yeah. And I guess I could say the reason why we're having these type of conversations is because the president's not sworn in yet. And, you know, you have these other conversations, I guess, with members of Congress when they start to pass laws that, you know, that the new president can sign. But, God, I hope we don't have 4 years of arguing this type of stuff, like the president's being, you know, like he's being disrespectful on Twitter to our intelligence services.
And vote just, for the Democrats in 2020.
Right.
No more NSA disses on Twitter. Minor adjustments.
Kellyanne Conway comes on and says, I'll have you know that we've moved over to Google Groups for all of our criticism of, but you know, the point is that, and the real playing field is what's happening in Congress. And Donald Trump is just there to sign off and to also make, you know, to perhaps, to be fair, to perhaps get us into a an accidental nuclear confrontation. But
there's always that.
There's always that. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to the great Cliff Schechter. We are back, Sam Seder on the Majority Report. It's Casual Friday. I was enjoying Throwback Friday from Matt. It's like he must feel like when Matt plays the replacements and knows what a kick I'll get out of it. It's got to be like when I played. My dad played. What was that guy's name now? I can't even remember. On Blueberry Hill, Fats Domino. But folks, this is another song from way back when that always warms my cackles.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter. LibertasLLC.com.
Hello, Cliff. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing pretty well as can be expected. How much are you willing to pony up for this wall that apparently Mexico's not going to be paying for, at least right up front, anyways?
I didn't realize I had a Mexican heritage, but apparently I do because I guess I'm going to be paying for it.
There you go, man.
I'm not willing to point up anything. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say if they get to be all judgy and say they won't pay for abortion, they being the right, then I'm going to say I won't pay for a wall.
Well, but Mexico's going to pay us back for it. They're going to pay.
Oh, yeah, eventually. As Steve King said, we'll start it now, and eventually the pesos will flow.
Maybe we can get President Trump to float his own bond for the wall. It just sort of like is because Mexico's going to pay us back, so don't worry. Why don't we just do it with his cash, and then we can get it over. That is something we should actually. Someone should introduce that. That to me sounds like something that might be a good proposal, a Democratic proposal. Have President Trump pay for the wall, since Mexico's going to pay us back anyways, and just make Mexico pay back Trump with interest.
You know, the Democrats did some of those kinds of things during the Bush administration, here and there, with all of its ludicrousness, and on the state level, you say, but you've seen some of that with some of the right-wing state legislatures, but I really feel like that needs to become a tactic with this lunatic as president, with all the unbelievably stupid things over 4 years or 2 years or however long he makes it that he's going to say and do.
Or 8 years, have these, buddy. Let's not...
I'm not accepting that yet. And down the road, if it looks like it, I will accept it somehow. But not yet. I don't think he can keep his attention or anything nearly that long. So I don't even know if it's a matter of whether it's whether he could be reelected or not, which I hope certainly not. But there's no way he keeps his interest in that job for 8 years.
I don't know. Like, I mean, it looks like
1/100th of his interest. You know what I mean? So that he could have somebody else do most of it for him.
I mean, right now, I mean, it looks like he's just perceiving it as like, I just got elected king. And this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, because he's not doing any actual work yet, right? I mean, the only thing he's supposed to really be doing, like showing up for intel briefings, he's not doing. Really, he's just getting together and meeting with people so that all sorts of people that so they can tell him how awesome he is.
Now, hold on. It seems to me that you're discounting the fact that he's spending a lot of time writing recaps for the Apprentice. Yeah.
Well, clearly.
He just got hired by the EW Vertical to write recaps on The Apprentice.
Right. The hilariousness of going after Schwarzenegger to try to attack The Apprentice ratings on a show that he's still listed as an executive producer of is in and of itself pretty funny.
I think it shows a lot of integrity. Shows
he's like, yeah, it's true. I suck as an
can't be bought
producer.
Out.
Look, I got to be honest about it. Even if I'm involved, I can't lie. It's
can't
important.
Lie. Can't.
Maybe that's why he leaves office. Schwarzenegger's destroying The Apprentice. I can't do this anymore. I resign.
This is his cherry tree moment.
No, I mean, look, there's sometimes I have a bad performance here on the Majority Report. I have to come right out and admit it.
All right.
I can't hide that stuff.
All right, let's dig into some of the stuff that's just slightly more relevant than the ratings performance and, frankly, Schwarzenegger's performance on The Apprentice. As important as that is, I don't want to...
I'm hoping nobody actually... I'll finish it off by saying I'm hoping nobody actually watched that who's here right now.
I wasn't... Schwarzenegger, I can't, you know, he's got those ads on, like Command, what are they, video
Gold
game?
Gold is a chopper, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I can't even sit through those. I find those insufferable. All right, but aside from that, so let's start with this. Tom Cotton, yesterday, on MSNBC with Chuck Todd, made what was a relatively important announcement. Just to be clear, in terms of the Affordable Care Act, just to remind people, the Senate has already started to work on setting the table for a reconciliation bill, which supposedly would have been the vehicle in which they would have more or less destroyed the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, repealed it by defunding all of it. It would have also allowed for big tax cuts for the wealthy. And as of yesterday, two senators had said that they did not buy into the strategy of repeal and then delay to replace. You also had Rand Paul, who's not happy about reconciliation because of the increase in the budget. But here is Tom Cotton on Chuck Todd's program.
I think when we repeal Obamacare, we need to have the solution moving forward. Again, that solution may be implemented in a deliberate fashion, but right. I don't think we can just repeal Obamacare and say we're going to get the answer 2 years from now. Look, this is a very complicated problem. Healthcare is a very complex issue. We haven't coalesced around a solution for 6 years, in part because it is so complicated. Kicking the can down the road for a year or 2 years is not going to make it any easier.
This is pretty stunning admission that even though they have passed 50 bills in the House, even though they already passed a reconciliation bill that had to be signed, vetoed by Obama in 2015, they don't have a replacement for Obamacare. They are screwed, it seems.
Well, they were sort of admitting, he was admitting essentially what we already knew, which is all those votes were for show. They knew they weren't going to succeed anyhow. And on top of that, I do find it interesting that he's saying this right now. I wonder in some ways, there are at least a couple of different angles that he could be taking here. But I do find it interesting, again, that, you know, we're even sort of having the argument of whether they will have a replacement to Obamacare or not, as if that's even humanly possible. The conservative replacement bill was Obamacare.
Right.
That was the conservative health care bill. That was the market-based one, the one that didn't do single payer, you know, the one that kept private companies involved. So what would it – I mean, they have these stupid ideas about, you know, opening policies for across state lines as if that's going to do almost anything. And they talk up health savings accounts, but you have to actually have money already to put it in a health savings. I mean, I've got a health savings account. You actually have to have the money to put it in there. And yeah, then it provides you some you know, you'll get some tax protection. But they're not, by definition, a party that literally cannot govern, which is where they've been for probably about a decade now, in any meaningful way, cannot have something else, because governing involves spending money in certain ways, and they refuse to spend anything.
It also, though, it seems to me, indicates that they know their own constituents like parts of Obamacare, if not all of it. I mean, clearly there is a the part about the Affordable Care Act is that for most people aren't really in any way implicated by Obamacare. That's the reality. But for many people who were implicated by Obamacare, it still didn't make health insurance cheap. It made it cheaper, or it made it better, and that is not necessarily obvious to people. But it didn't make it less expensive, and didn't make it like affordable, essentially. But what's becoming clear is that they know their own people are like it better than they even their own people think they do.
Well, and they're very reliant on it too.
Yep, that's what
I mean. That's the thing is, like, you look at where the biggest proportion of people have benefited, and not every state, but the majority of these states end up being rural red states where people just did not have health care. So you know, especially ones that are older, and so I mean. They're looking at something here where what they've managed to do, and we've had these conversations before, part of this is the Obama administration's fault, which now the Obama administration has admitted and others have, with the fact that they never defended their health care plan. They felt like they could just put it out there and never actually brand it as to what it was doing. So it was demonized because the right is incredibly good at demonizing words like liberal and Obamacare and so that people, you know, socialism. So people hate them without actually knowing what they mean. So Obamacare must be terrible, right? But as you're saying, the individual parts of that, once you get past the loaded term of Obamacare, when you get to the individual parts of that, kids, you know, in your home, staying on it until they're 26, the obviously Medicaid in cases of those who are getting it, and many of these other things, pre-existing conditions being something that can't keep you from getting health care, people like it. And so, and that's conservatives too. It's kind of what they always run into. With Social Security and Medicare too, is that that a lot of their older, whiter base rely on those two things and actually enjoy them because they work very efficiently. So you know, I think that part of it could be that, and it's not shocking that if you look at the three right now who've kind of jumped off the bandwagon, they can give various reasons. Although I do find it interesting that Rand Paul brings up the deficit because he's admitting what has always been true also, which is the deficit was lowered by Obamacare and would go up without it, which was the opposite of what Republicans claimed forever. But you look at the three states there, Arkansas, Tennessee with Lamar Alexander, and Kentucky, three much poorer, much more rural, much whiter states. That's what you're looking at. You're not looking at sort of moderate Republicans from, you know, as if there are very many, but even more sort of mainstream Republicans from wealthier states doing it yet. You're looking at those ones who know that their base relies on it. And even in Rand Paul's specific case, that was almost like a test case of one of the best programs in the country, which is the local, the Exchange Connect, you know, was the Obamacare, the local Obamacare in Kentucky, which has been incredibly successful. A lot of people benefited from it. And if that gets taken away, Rand Paul is going to have a fun time running for re-election,
you know,
or anything else.
That's a great point that hadn't occurred to me. I mean, Tom Cotton was sort of, I was thinking, like, why Tom Cotton, right? I mean, I can understand Collins from Maine because she has to pretend like she's a moderate in some fashion. But the Tom Cotton thing and the Lamar Alexander, and frankly, Rand Paul, I mean, he's in a great position, right? Because he can really pretend this is all about, pure conservative principles when in fact, what it is about is not having, his entire state enraged at the rollback of black lung, provisions in the Affordable Care Act. The Kentucky Connect, like you say, which is wildly successful, and nobody is going to realize that it's Obamacare until it's gone. And then,
remember, you see those polls, you know, that would show people, they'd ask people, do you like your Connect? And they'd be like, we love it. Do you like, and then they just changed the word to Obamacare. We hate it.
Right. You and people are even saying the same thing. They're starting to find that stuff with the Affordable Care Act. Like we, you know, the Affordable Care Act is okay. It's just Obamacare. Right. It's been a problem. And then here's the thing where, as you say that, it occurs to me with Tom Cotton. It's like, I wonder, if this is a function, not necessarily of his constituents, right? Or I should say, not necessarily his constituents broadly speaking, in terms of the man on the street, but Walmart. You know, I mean, Walmart's out of Arkansas, and I can only imagine across the country how many Walmart workers are getting health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, because they're probably somewhere between in the expansion of Medicaid across the states, and then you also have, like, you know, Rick Snyder in Michigan is already pleading with with Trump to not cut their version of the expansion of Medicaid. I mean, it's
and then
really,
you know, another thing I just thought of too, which I wasn't thinking of before, but as we're broadening this to look at what their actual interests are. There's a number of healthcare companies that have huge divisions or are headquartered in Kentucky too. Humana, mm-hmm. I even believe that I don't remember if it was it Elaine Chao who sat on the board, I think, maybe at one point, of Humana. So you've got that also, which is these companies that are probably some of the biggest constituents are going to be pissed when it's taken away from them and they suddenly have no more guaranteed pool. So, I mean, there's a lot going on there, but it's interesting in that Susan Collins, you're right to think of, because she's more quote unquote moderate, right? There's a few others left in that who you might put into that camp, you know, Flake and Heller, especially with elections coming up in 18, in both of their cases in Arizona and Nevada, states that are trending in a Democratic direction. And you might even say, look at somebody who, you know, like Rob Portman from Ohio, who's a little bit more of a mainstream conservative. But the interesting thing is that it's really going to be some other Republicans, not the ones you're used to looking at as the kind of more moderate-ish ones. Can I use that word?
Right.
Because it, in comparison to the others, not that there's really anything left that's really moderate in the Republican Party. So, you know, you're looking at states that are rural, hard hit, have other interests like Walmart and Humana. And then you should be looking also at states where obviously they're not so Republican. Like, my guess is, you know, even if it's a rural state in Wyoming, you know, winning as a Democrat, I mean, I know they had a Democratic governor, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, but it's a pretty almost impossible thing. But some of these states like Kentucky, where Republicans have a 10, 15 point advantage. But you know what? You run into taking away people's health care, and it's funny how quickly that 15-point advantage can disappear. My guess is there's people to go out there and be talking to in a number of other southern states as well as western states
This issue. And we should make it clear too: the reason why three is the magic number here is that if you lose three senators, you still can't pass. If you lose three Republican senators, you still can't pass this stuff through reconciliation. I mean, presuming all the Democrats are going to vote against it, which I think
Can Joe Manchin be that stupid? He did say he is sort of, you know, pretending and he's doing the whole Ben Nelson, Joe Lieberman thing. It was like, I can't meet with Obama on this. He did do that. But my God, I haven't looked, but my guess is West Virginia benefits from Obamacare almost more than anybody.
Right.
And you've got Heidi Heitkamp again, but, you know, a very conservative or, you know, conservative Democrat, certainly, but she's from North Dakota. My guess is disproportionate benefits there, too. So, the ones who would be most likely to jump ship, I don't know if this is the issue to jump ship on.
It's going to be interesting to see, because I don't know how they get away without, you know, it's one thing if they... And the reason, of course, why someone like Tom Cotton is against the repeal and delay is because it is going to have this sort of cascading effect on the exchanges where all the insurance companies are going to leave within a year because they're going to say, like, why are we staying in this if it's not going to exist after there? And they're also going to say, like, yeah, what are you going to, you know, there's no future for us in this business. So why would we be in it now? And unless there's some type of payoff to have them stay in, which is possible, and it would be up to the Democrats at that point to sort of to highlight this. And I think it's not, it would not be an unreasonable calculation by the Republicans to think the Democrats are too incapable of making political hay out of this type of thing. But,
or doing any kind of solid messaging. I mean, that's the thing, is the Democrats, in a way, have a second chance here. The problem is that they're Democrats,
right?
And are the organized part, whatever that is, of our party, when it comes to messaging and willingness to go for the jugular, has been so terrible. But this would be your time, if you wanted to go to a number of these districts and states and have people get up and tell their stories about how they'll lose it. You know, people who look just like all the other people there who will lose it, who are Republicans, who I'm sure you'll find some people very genuinely scared, as there have been a couple stories about this. They're going to lose it, Obamacare. And so they'd be willing to probably get up as Republicans and say it. And it's amazing how quickly you could find, my guess is, a good dozen Republicans jump off the bandwagon, if not more, really.
You know, again, Richard Blumenthal, I should say, introduced a bill, I think it was yesterday, to allow Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices. So one of the things, incidentally, of repealing the Affordable Care Act is that the donut hole, which is once you spend X amount on prescription drugs, I think it's like $2,000 or $3,000. There's a hole there in terms of then you're responsible for everything for after that up to about $5,000 or $6,000. And that hole has been shrinking under Obamacare and is scheduled to be completely shrank away. Shrank away. Shrunken away. I'm talking like my 3-year-old son now. by, I think it was 2020, that, of course, will be reversed. But I like the idea of Democrats now going out there and saying, like, you know, not only should we keep Obamacare, but let's address why. And there's a huge look. A lot of the negative results on Obamacare is because it doesn't go far enough.
Right. They should go out there and defend it. While they're defending it, say, oh, by the way, you could have health care, too, if your governor would accept Medicaid. Oh, and by the way, a public option would bring down prices even further, and it would take us.
Oh, I say we
payers.
Just go straight for single payer. Medicare starting at 55. That's the first place I would go. Medicare at 55. Because they're going to come out and say, you know, we're going to cut your Medicare, but if you're 55 or older, you don't have to worry. I think they got to go in and say, if you're 55 now, you're on Medicare. And then, you know, if you're 45, you're only 10 years away from Medicare. That's the type of thing. Will they do this? I don't know. I mean, you know, there's so many unanswered questions at this point, and it's so weird to have these many questions.
We're having another debate that, you know, again, this is sort of where the media, in their role as supposedly, you know, those that can separate fact from fiction and explain to people what politics means to their lives, has so abjectly failed. I mean, I'm blaming the Obama administration in many ways because of the messaging around this was always terrible and was never, you know, preemptive. But at the same time, you know, while the media made sure to tell us every stupid Donald Trump tweet and every other dumb thing he said at a debate, all that kind of stuff, while they were only doing 30 minutes on policy during the entire campaign and all three network news programs in the evening, they were not telling people things like this. Because if they had, they would have been explaining to people in the objective way, objective in the sense of objective truth, not objective BS and not telling people stuff, that the Republicans have never had anything that resembles a plan. That, again, this whole debate, all these 50 different votes and the argument now, all this is going on because it's not like these guys came up with an alternative plan and then said, we've got something better, we'll do this. You know, like in the old days when the Republicans actually governed, again, when their alternative plan was something pretty close to Obamacare, or the carbon tax is wrong. You know, we have an alternative, cap and trade. You know what I mean? They don't have an alternative. They never will. They can't under the current sort of credo of their party, which is to always be cutting government so you can cut taxes for people that you like. So, I mean, it's all sort of an exercise in farce. There will never be a plan. Because there can't be.
No, and I mean, I think you're right, because the reality is they just don't want to have a plan.
No.
They don't want to have a plan, and they know their constituents do want to have a plan, and so they have to pretend that they're going to come up with a plan, and I don't know. Maybe they're just betting on full-on nuclear holocaust before they actually have to deliver on a...
You know, they like to sell their base on the fact that it's those poor minorities, right? But of course, the truth of the matter is, like with so many other things, welfare and other things that they try to pin on the minority community, is a lot of their own people are benefiting, and often disproportionately they're benefiting well beyond any other community, as in blue states paying taxes to take care of red states. So the truth of the matter is that they can sort of pretend all they want, but in the end, there will be a pool of people who nothing can do anything for except for literally giving them the subsidies to pay for the health insurance. And a lot of those people are their voters.
There's two dynamics that I've seen in a lot of the reporting about the way that people perceive this. One, and I think it's partially they see these things as some type of giveaway to minorities and others, but I also think that they see it as a giveaway just to others. So, you know, I've seen reporting where people have said stuff like, yeah, the Affordable Care Act is great, but what I really want is Medicaid. Like, I want even less expensive health care. And
get your government hands off my Medicaid.
Well, I mean, but honestly, and these guys want they resent the fact, like, we're working hard. And I think this is a legitimate argument, actually, on some level. I think their response to it is, with all due respect, moronic, but it's a legitimate argument to say, like, why don't I have low-cost, no-cost health insurance? Why do I have to work my ass off and I just get a subsidy that makes the insurance arguably, if only barely, affordable to me with all these copays? Right. I want Medicaid. And... you know, my answer to that is, then you know what you do? You vote for the party that is and leverage them to get you Medicaid rather than the one who's just going to take away what you got, right?
And you do what North Carolina did, and you vote for a Democratic governor, who, by the way, I think we'd be bereft of our duty as people who argue for this all the time if we didn't give Roy Cooper credit for coming into office, having these people lead an unprecedented, nothing's unprecedented with the Republican Party anymore, but of course sort of strip him of powers. And of course the first two things he does is sue them over some of the powers they try to take from him.
Yep.
And say that the way he reads the law there, that Medicaid is something the governor has the right to give, and so screw the legislature. He's giving the people Medicaid.
Well, he's trying. He's trying. It's unclear.
Well, yeah, but the point is they're going to go to court over it.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are the types of things that some of us who've said Republican behavior has to be met with similar Democratic behavior, because if one side keeps giving in and saying, well, we don't want to rock the boat, eventually the other side takes everything. It's the history of authoritarianism and how it rises. And, you know, we just saw another example that was upsetting again, where President Obama didn't do what he could have done in getting Merrick Garland in the court. And we've had that whole conversation.
Right.
Well, it's good to see that Roy Cooper is doing it.
Yeah, good for
and
Roy
then, you
Cooper.
Know what? You want to play that game? That's fine.
Now,
here's
listen,
what I'm going to do.
Listen, you know? I want you I want to just get to the other response to the Affordable Care Act by people who voted for Trump. This is an interview with that Sanjay Gupta from CNN did. With a Trump supporter. The guy's name is Bob Rusko. And I'm not sure where Rusko is from. But this is another one of those stories. You're seeing a lot of these stories, right? Like, certainly, I mean, I don't know if we've seen enough just in print and on TV, where if you took all these people who thought this way, they would have swung the election. But it's probably pretty close. Here is a piece by Sanjay Gupta on another Trump voter who hopes they don't lose Obamacare under the Trump administration.
Look, okay, you voted for Donald Trump, who promised to repeal something that you're very much benefiting from. Again, just how do you explain that to people?
I did what I thought was correct. For the overall good of the country. I think economic strength cures a lot of things. People working, making decent money, that certainly helps out. I'd rather not need the subsidies. I'd rather be working.
So this guy made a calculation that Donald Trump is going to bring back jobs magically. Now, we should also say, like, you know, we're at a point now where just the numbers that came out today, I mean, we still have a lot of people sitting on the sidelines, you know, we certainly haven't come back from 2008, and we have structural problems and whatnot, but
right.
I don't know if this guy just believes that somehow Donald Trump is gonna get him as, and I can't tell how old he was from that, but he certainly wasn't younger than me. How this, you know, 60-some-odd-year-old guy thinks that he's going to get a job now that's going to get him a great health benefits under Donald Trump, if he genuinely believes that, or if he wasn't just like, I wasn't going to vote for her. You know,
right.
I mean,
but, and maybe he wouldn't have voted for her no matter what, because there's plenty of people who wouldn't have done that. But again, failure on one level of the Clinton campaign to lead with a message on jobs, and failure on the second level of our media to remind people again to be the type of institution in a democracy that lets people make reasoned judgments about who they'd vote for, that if they were really honestly doing that every single time Trump made a claim like that, so someone like this gentleman could hear them, they would ask him specifically what he was talking about and what his plan was and how it was he was going to bring jobs back there, to which he would have no answer.
And I also got to say, like, you know, it's hard to get into this guy's mind. Maybe he genuinely believes that, or maybe that's a post facto rationalization when it occurs to him, like, I guess maybe I should have taken all those times that he said I'm going to repeal Obamacare more seriously. Like,
yeah.
It's quite possible that this guy, I mean, I don't know, but I think it's certainly the case with a lot of people, just like, I never took it seriously, as if like they just, and I mean, look, I've had conversations with people on the nominal left who said, like, well, it won't happen because the Republicans won't get along with Donald Trump, and he won't do whatever they say, or he's a secret liberal, or he's so crazy he won't, you know. And look, we may see that the Affordable Care Act is not repealed. They may not be able to get it together in the Senate to do so. And we may be moving on to the next issue where they just cut his Medicare.
Right.
But that's a failure of the media to not really sort of like make sure that they have an audience who understands how, you know, what happens when you have a House controlled by Republicans, a Senate controlled by Republicans, and the executive branch controlled by Republicans.
Well, they didn't explain all this. And again, you know, I hate when anybody thinks that tries to blame everything on sort of one item and one thing. People are responsible, too, because as a human being, as somebody who has evolved to the point of supposedly having some capacity for rational thought, it's up to you here and there to turn off the Kim Kardashian and stop reading, you know, Us Weekly, and find out the person who you're voting for to lead your country, to find out exactly what it is they're advocating, even if the media makes it harder. There's no lack of people who are at fault here for the situation that this man is in, and many like him.
All right, so
here we find ourselves.
All right, we just got a couple of minutes left, so let's just I just want to talk about this, because this is just sort of crazy, and you know, I can't remember. I just don't remember this period of time during the Bush administration, because, in fact, I think it was like this period of time was barely existed because so much was tied up on, at least in 2000.
In 2000, there were Brooks Brothers riots going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I don't think that we had settled on who the president was until like a week or two ago, you know, at that time.
Yep. Yeah, I think it was about a week or two ago.
But so, this particular transition and the way they're going about this seems nuts to me. On Wednesday of next week, so hearings start on Tuesday, although we don't know Ben Carson's schedule. Can't believe I'm just saying
my luggage.
This. Ben Carson is scheduled to have his hearing next week. We don't know when. I mean,
they're probably not going to tell us when the last minute. It'll be in the middle of the night.
I mean, honestly.
Because, like, at least then he might actually really be asleep, which is kind of like the pose he has, even when his eyes are open during the day. So you're not going to get anything different out of him when his eyes are open or closed.
I think the Ben Carson thing is going to be just absolutely nuts. I mean, if somebody asks him, I don't know. And then on Tuesday,
I will send autographs of The Secret to everyone who needs housing, and then we'll cut their subsidies.
On Tuesday, it's Jeff Sessions. Democrats have only been allowed to call. There were 25. Remember, this is he was up in. This is the Reagan era, I think, when he
and a Republican Senate.
In a Republican Senate.
It was the Reagan era, and it was a Republican-controlled Senate during the Reagan era.
When he was denied a federal judgeship, and there were 25 Democratically called witnesses. The Republicans are only allowing the Democrats, I think, to call 4 or 5 witnesses to talk about Jeff Sessions in the 2 days of hearings that will take place on Tuesday the 10th and then roll into Wednesday the 11th. On Wednesday 11th, you will have Sessions, you will have Education Secretary, would-be billionaire Betsy DeVos, who is on record of saying she is against public schools, not public education, because she's for the public paying subsidies to people to go to Christian schools, but against public schools. You have,
or to just brainwash them to become Amway customers.
You have Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, who will be the most senior member in terms of experience in government in the Trump administration. She was a former labor secretary under George W. Bush. She's Mitch McConnell's. She's married to Mitch McConnell, which in and of itself is just sort of like, I feel like you could spend like days on hearings just like on how's that?
Maybe her parents forced her to.
If you can't just admit that marrying Mitch McConnell, just look at that.
Her parents forced her to before the shipping company. Will marry him now. He looked like turtle.
Dad,
please,
no. Shipping company. Anything else I say will probably
that
be
is
sexist.
Not.
Look up the shipping company and Mitch McConnell and Elaine Chao. Just look it up.
No, it's true.
Yeah. No, I mean, many people
are
saying.
It's in the nation.
Yeah, it's in the nation.
John Judas wrote a great piece about this in the early 2000s.
Wait, hold on a second.
Mitch McConnell magically went from being kind of like what the Republican Party's done on Russia now. How Mitch McConnell magically suddenly went from being like a hawk, you know, hating everything about China to like China's awesome.
Wait a second. Are you arguing that, Michael?
He lost his virginity. So I mean, come on. Of course, he's going to like China.
Are you kidding me? They haven't had sex. Come on, Mike.
Okay, all right. Let's not.
What was the question? Well, I'm sorry.
Was she made to marry him for?
No, that was a joke. But the shipping company and its connection to certain types of shipment products is not.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, and the her dad, who was a strong McConnell supporter, and made sure to introduce her. I'm not saying she was forced to. But
people get married for all different types of reasons. The point is, she's the most experienced person. Then Homeland Security Chief is John Kelly, one of Donald Trump's generals, and then Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. All of this is happening on Wednesday. Then you have also Mike Pompeo for the CIA. There's just a lot of stuff that's going around. It's crazy.
They did it all the same day because they're hoping that mixes everybody up and there can't be a straight narrative about how any one of these people sucks.
Right. Yep.
I mean, that's what it's about. It's more McConnell tactics, which you have to love that McConnell knows enough about his wife's unpopularity that he made sure to put her in there with everybody else.
Well, God forbid she gets a question about him.
I know.
Cliff Schechter,
like him.
We will look back on those hearings next week.
And I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yes, indeed. All right, thanks so much,
all
buddy.
Right. Make sure to get some audio of Ben Carson, okay?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? We're probably going to just not even do the podcast.
It's a culture of dependency.
We'll see you next week.
Do you know about the pyramids, Cliff?
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, hopefully, Judy Gold. We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and I feel like my whole week has been made. I'm just mired in this stuff, and I didn't know if we had really genuinely secured our next guest, because she's you know, one minute she's doing Shakespeare in the Park, not so much in the winter, I hope. But hold on. Wait a sec. Michael wants to add something.
Does not spend all of her life staring at her phone.
She Sam. Does not spend all her life staring Thank at you. Her phone. But here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Judy Gold.
Hey, everyone. Happy New Year. Woo! Woo! Yeah.
Matt, I need my... New Year. I wanted to give you an applause. Matt was...
Thank you.
There you go. That Happy New Year, I can't, is really, it's everything's gallow humors these days, isn't it?
You know, I just, I did take a moment earlier to check Twitter, and the president-elect, I mean, I'm so excited because he's really upset. I mean, he's really happy that, you know, Schwarzenegger got bad ratings. And I think that's a really important thing that we need to focus on is Celebrity Apprentice. I think that's one of the most important things that's going on in the world right now. And I'm just really glad that his priorities are set. That motherfucking piece of shit. I fucking hate him.
Guy's going into an intelligence, an intel a briefing to find out why he won the election. It's basically like, it's almost like he's sitting down with Nate Silver, except for it's he's sitting down with the intel people saying basically, you know, Vlad. Now, he may already know all this stuff, but let me just read the tweet so the people know. And maybe you can sort of parse this for me. He says, wow, the ratings are in, and Arnold Schwarzenegger got, in quotation, swamped, and then in parens, or destroyed, by comparison to the ratings machine DJT, which presumably is Donald J. Trump. And then he goes, so much for ... being a movie star, and that was season one compared to season 14. Now compare him to my season one. But who cares? He supported Kasich and Hillary.
I mean, what the fuck? The guy...
Come on, that's great.
It's got to be... First of all, it's got to be inverted. It really has to be inverted. It has to be, like, less than an inch. I'm not kidding.
It has to be, right?
It is... I mean, this is stuff... Like, my kids... My kids are more mature than him. And they're not mature.
Why does...
There's something wrong with him. There's some... First of all... This is what I don't understand. Like, Jeff Sessions' ears and, you know, like, gay Pence. You know, all these guys, they must know that, you know, this guy is mentally ill. Like, we know he's mentally ill. Mitch McConnell knows, and they're not, no one's saying, all right, look, like Paul Ryan. What the fuck? Like, seriously. You all know that this is wrong, that this is not right. And yet no one says anything. No one says, no one's afraid for their safety. I mean, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on? All right, first of all, Kelly and Cuntway, underbite.
Whoa!
We may have to put a not safe for work on today's
Judy,
fun.
You are my favorite guest. And can I just say that you have made such an impression on me that after I got over my own nausea and sickness when Trump actually got this, the first thing I thought of after my family and myself, I was like, ooh, Judy Gold must be taking this really badly.
I cried. I mean, I cried. I couldn't fucking believe it. I never cry. But, you know, I was physically ill. You know what it was like? It's still like this. It's like, you know, like, I don't know if anyone's parents have died. Or if you have a close person, or if you live through the AIDS crisis, whatever. And then you wake up, right? And everything's fine for like 3 seconds. And then you go, oh, right. So-and-so's dead. That's exactly how I feel every day when I wake up.
He's about to be president.
Yeah. It's so... Kellyanne... She must... she must be, like, their marriage, first of all, her kids are probably, like, you know, she probably, I fucking hate her. But she's the worst person. She makes Ann Coulter look like fucking Pollyanna. I fucking hate her.
But
okay?
Brilliant to steer Everybody away from the kids. Good move.
Sorry. But I'm just saying, can she win a fight with her husband or her, I mean, does she do that when they're, arguing? First of all, she doesn't even probably remember what her kids look like. And second of all,
she know, apparently like, is upset. She can't get them into a private school because no private school will have them there.
No, that's shocking. That's shocking.
I thought mean, it was.
Every time you argue with her, like every time they say something, you know, well, Donald said that, you know, ridiculous comment number 12. And she'll be like, well, Hillary, but no, Hillary's not going to be president. Okay. So stop bringing up that whole old shit. She is like the worst human being ever. She's horrible.
You have a decent impression of her. What did you just do an impression of her for a second?
No, I just the underbite. Just say something to me, and I'll be her. Just say anything to me. And I'll be
do you
her.
Think do you, people are upset that President elect Trump?
Wait, what? Who am I talking to?
This is Michael. Pretend it's CNN.
Oh, right, Michael.
Okay. All right, hi, Judy. People are upset.
Kelly, my name's Kelly.
Why would he dispute the CIA assessment and then make fun of an autistic child in Michigan?
Well, Michael, that's a great question, Michael. That's not exactly what happened. And I'm happy that you asked that question, Michael. What happened was that, you know, he has not been given the information. He has not said that. Nothing of what you said is true.
He didn't know the child was autistic.
Actually, I don't know about that exactly, Michael. I'm not sure. I don't have all the information. I'd be happy to comment on it when I get all of the information. But as far as the CIA is concerned, he will be getting the intel briefing. He will be he will be having a press conference on the 11th, as promised, during the 25 confirmation hearings, so that no one pays attention to those. And what he will then make a decision based on all of that. He will make a measured decision. He is the president-elect. He only cares about the American people. And I mean, it's just the same fucking shit over.
Judy, you could work for
over.
Him. Kellyanne, this is Matt Lauer. Can we talk about Hillary's emails
Matt.
Again, please?
Absolutely, Matt. I'd love to talk about that, Matt. You know, Hillary's emails, that's what, you know, people said it was Comey, and it was not. It was Hillary's emails. As you may not know or may know, Matt, President-elect doesn't use email. He uses a courier service. He handwrites things in. He just learned script, and he is using script to write out all his policies. And, you know, Matt, this is going to be a very different country. This is going to be a very different administration. And we have someone who truly cares about jobs. And
oh, my God.
He is the job president. And he is a fucking idiot.
we have Arnold Schwarzenegger, I guess, in response to.
Right.
To Trump blasting his apprentice thing. And this, you know, like,
yes,
I feel like there's so many. No, we're not. I'm not doing the Kellyanne Conway.
Anymore?
We're back.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
There's so many people out there who now, like,
Sam,
there's two sides of a fight, and I hope both of them lose. Like, I could give a crap about Arnold Schwarzenegger on The Apprentice. But with that said, that's the era we're living in. Here is Arnold Schwarzenegger's response this morning at 10 a.m. on Twitter.
Okay.
He did a video response.
I want to hear it.
And he wrote, please study this quote. Please study this quote from Lincoln's inaugural, real Donald Trump. It inspired me every day I was governor. I hope it inspires you.
And what's the quote?
Well, he did a video of it, I guess.
Oh, okay.
After yesterday's election,
This is old. I'm sorry.
He pinned it this morning.
Oh, mistake. He did?
Yeah, he pinned
it. All right, well, let's just see.
How do you pin a tweet? How do you pin a tweet? What does that mean?
You put it on top of your thing. I don't know. I've never done it. I think you have an option with a tweet to pin it. But all right, let's hear what Schwarzenegger said anyways. Let's hear it.
All right, go ahead.
President Lincoln, I think it is an important message for all of us today. And I'm sure that you want to hear me read Lincoln's speeches in my Austrian accent. Here we go. We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic cords of memory, stretching from every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this broad land, will yet swell the chorus of our union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature. Isn't that wonderful? I love this quote. And remember, the day, the campaign is over, the election is over, and we are not enemies. We are neighbors, we are friends, and most importantly, we are all Americans.
I like my presidents who don't get assassinated. I like my presidents who don't get it. You know what? I don't. Halfway through that quote, he lost me. I was just like, who cares about
you? And you, Sam, you will go to the left.
And
the left.
You know, the annoying thing is that if Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't think that he's partly responsible for this, too, I mean, what the hell business does he have to be a governor of the...
Well, first of all, exactly. It's like the only reason that you and Jesse Ventura and all these motherfuckers are even in politics is because of your hackiness on television and in the movies. So... We are all friends, and Lincoln is probably like rolling around in his grave with that fucking accent.
Are you going down to the protest? Are you going down to the protest on the 21st?
Yes, I am going down to the protest. Are you going?
I will probably be staying here with Saul, but the rest of my family is heading down.
Oh, that's very nice. I love Saul. How is Saul?
He's fine. He's working as an accountant in the Diamond District of Manhattan.
Yes.
Of course.
Oh, Saul, that's terrific, Saul. I'm gonna go protest. I mean, this is what we have to do. We have to protest, and I think that it's starting. And the only thing that sort of made me feel better was the fact that I've been seeing people all over the country in small groups having sit-ins, going to their reps' offices. People aren't going to take it. We're not going to put up with this shit. But what I don't understand is, where are the Republicans who are like, look, this guy's fucking crazy. You know, where's the Olympia Snow who... You know, where are those people who are just, I mean, he's obviously mentally ill. He's a 10-year-old and she's going to be first lady. What the fuck is that?
I think we all know what that is, Judy.
Well, the good news is she won't be moving to Washington for a while, I guess. I mean, I don't.
No, Sam, I cannot take my son out of the school. He's in, which is one block from where Judy Gold lives. So hopefully this will make her life even worse than it already
is. Judy, I think that we could raise literally $1 million to get you to protest personally every time they drop him off at school every day.
I'll do it.
They do a GoFundMe. I think it would take about 15 minutes.
I will go stand
the fuck
there
out, Barrett. This is America.
First of all, why do they go to school on the Upper West Side, like the most liberal area in the world?
Let's talk about the name Barron. Where did that come from? Barron Trump.
Barron.
Are they
Barron.
Really doing it like, is it like, is that like naming your kid like Duke? Like Sir Duke?
That's exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Even better. Like, Duke
Prince.
Trump.
Barron. Prince.
Yes, that is exactly Admiral. Like Duke.
I mean, is that honestly what MacArthur. They did? Or is that like, is Barron like
and,
a family
like,
name?
I think so. Oh, yeah, because he really thought about it. But of course, if that's what it is.
I know.
It's first of all, how do you think
and I'm not making
friends?
Fun of the I mean, just want to make it clear. I'm not making fun of the kid.
No.
I'm making fun
I'm not
of
making
the
fun
parents
of the kid either.
As to what they name their child. That's all.
Barron, yeah. Barron Trump. And I'm sure he's the only one with that name. Who the fuck now I bet you know what I bet?
Mm-hmm.
I bet all these like, you know, Republican white, you know, people are gonna be naming their kids Barron.
That's hey Barron, get the hell over here. Let's get our guns and go hunt.
Barron, get in here. What the fuck do you think you're doing, Barron? I don't know what that was, but that was like a Southern...
Blanche, that sounded like Tennessee Williams type of thing.
Yeah.
Yes, Sam, yes. He did name his... I don't have all the information on the naming of the child, but I know that that was something he felt strongly about. He and Melania sat together on their gold-plated chairs and discussed right before her water broke that they would be naming him Barron, and that's all the information I have. He will be coming out with a statement.
What do you make, Judy, of the fact that
yes.
there seems to be no entertainers who are willing to provide entertainment for the inauguration and its celebrations? I mean, to be fair, I think Ted Nugent's going, the Nuge, and Kid Rock, and who was that? What was the name of who's the opera singer? Come on, Matt. Do you really? I thought you were going to pull that.
I haven't pulled it yet.
He didn't but, do so, it.
Matt will
Bocelli?
Do it.
Bocelli?
Andrea Torcelli.
Andrea Torcelli.
We're just making fun
of him. He's not doing it.
Oh, okay.
No.
So, do you think this is reverse McCarthyism?
Sam, you might say that it's reverse McCarthyism, Sam. But what it actually is that Donald really wants to reach the people, and he has not reached out to, I mean, there's a lot of news going around that people are not wanting to perform at the inauguration. Actually, he doesn't want people performing at the inauguration. Donald actually wants it the inauguration to be for the people, and he's going to have an open mic at the inauguration. Where people, you know, sort of like, you know, American Idol can come up and sing and do stand up and do whatever, or actually just sing. It's sort of like for the people. So he's doing an open mic. Ted Nugent and Kid Rock are going to be hosting it.
Who
the fuck, what performer, seriously,
yeah.
what performer who is, you know, performers, well, except for Ted Nugent and Kid Rock. These people deal with gay people, people who are HIV positive, people of color. You can't condone. And everyone's like, oh, well, we're going to go out of respect of the transition of power. He has no respect for the office of the presidency. He has zero respect for that office. So what we're supposed to, you know, go with protocol and be like, oh, but it's the president. He doesn't treat it like anything special. So why are we supposed to go and treat it like it's this peaceful, it's not a peaceful transition of power. Hmm. The guy's fucking tweeting about bullshit and that's okay. But, you know, we should go back to the old ways when it comes to the inauguration. No, he hasn't done anything, anything that historically has been, you know, sanctioned or nothing. There's nothing. He has gone away with every sort of tradition that we have. He's just thrown that away. And now we're supposed to traditionally, you know, it's a tradition. Too bad. Tradition.
I'm sure there's a certain amount of intimidation that, or people, you know, it's not like showbiz folks, broadly speaking, are willing to stick their necks out for anything that is political. I mean, you and I happen to know some of those people who are willing to do that. You know, like Janine,
right.
obviously. Very, right. in my mind, and not famously enough, was one of, you know, at a time where she was a movie star, mm-hmm. Was willing to sort of put that by the wayside for political reasons. or put that at mm-hmm. risk for political reasons. But most, you know, performers won't do that. But also, I also have to say, like, you know, at the very least, it is encouraging at least that there is an awareness that goes outside of people who are interested in politics. I mean, like, you know, I've been saying right. this to a certain extent, you know, people I've known for years, and most of the people I know are in entertainment industry in one fashion or another, either, you know, sort of or actors or behind the camera or, you know, that type of stuff. And so many of them are more politically engaged. You know, and I go back and forth a little bit. I literally had a dream last night where somebody came up to Jon Snow at Castle right. Black and said, like, winter's coming. And he just looked at him and goes, yeah, no shit. I've been up here the whole time fighting it off. I'm aware of that. You know, I've been laying off the ladies for years up here eating right. gruel because winter's coming. Yeah, no shit. But it's encouraging to see that people are just not going to provide, you know, instantaneously provide respect because he's the president. Like, that at least right. is out
but
the
he
window.
Hasn't, but he hasn't given anyone respect himself. His campaign was just dirt and shit and nasty and filthy and just immature. And it's like, oh, you're an asshole if you don't perform at the inauguration, like the head of the Rockettes. No. Mm. Why should, you know, these people are immigrants. These people are affected by his shitty policies, his Islamophobia, his racism, the people, its fucking whole cabinet is white. It's like the fucking, whatchamacallit, that Mr. Clean Eraser thing. It's white. It's that, he's an asshole. Ben Carson, what the fuck?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Well, Ben Carson is not white.
What?
No, I'm saying he's the only black person. And he's not even qualified for the job.
Yeah, that's what's
you know,
amazing
he just
about
literally.
I mean, you see, there's an irony to it.
Well, I mean,
one black guy. Well, you gotta have a black guy at HUD.
Gotta have a black guy.
I'm not a monster.
Right. He's qualified.
Can you imagine? You're getting, you know, you have some brain issue, and he walks in with his fucking, you know, gloves on and his. You know, he's all scrubbed in.
So we're operating on brain issues today?
First of all, the fact that I don't even believe he's a real surgeon.
It could be like one of those like situations, like Warhol situations where he just has people painting for him. And he's just like, I'm the brand.
Right.
I carry the brand.
Yeah. I'm really glad that people do not want to perform. I mean, that must kill him.
I think it does.
No performer wants to perform there. And, you know, Mike Pence, everyone's like, oh, I wish you would. Mike Pence is so bad. He's horrible. You know, his whole thing about, you know, the only person gay conversion therapy has worked on is Mike Pence. Okay? That's the only person it's worked on.
And we all know it doesn't really hold for very long, right? I mean, you just need to keep it together.
Go ahead.
Well, I just think I think that scrunched up look on his face that he has all the time.
Right.
I think that's what he's doing.
Right.
I think he's just holding it down, holding it in, and just sort of like, just like that's
he wants a dick in his ass, and he has to scrunch his face up like that. And also, what's his name? Lindsey Graham.
Mom! Why did you do that to me?
That's the gay reparative therapy. One of the therapists hitting his couch with a tennis racket. That's from years ago. From years and years ago.
Lindsey Graham, never been married. Perfect hair. beyond gay. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love titties.
That I don't get. I mean, Chuck Schumer makes me feel better when he talk. I mean, but his hair plugs are terrible.
Well, I don't know why Chuck Schumer makes me feel better about anything, but
no, I mean, he made me feel better the other night when he was, you know,
when he was saying,
"Yeah,
he's going
to
fight."
Pass.
Right? Yes. I mean, it's encouraging. We'll see if that sticks in any fashion. I mean, I just want to say one thing about the Apprentice thing, which is what is really stunning.
Go.
I mean, it's so easy to sort of like to not realize how insane this is. But you've got a guy who is 15 days away from assuming the presidency.
Right.
One's got to imagine there, you know, who's never had any experience in this. Like, I'm feeling overwhelmed just in this thing. And I've been here before. I just, you know, it's a different context. And but I'm feeling overwhelmed. And this guy is actually obviously extremely preoccupied with the overnights for The Apprentice. Like,
right. And also, you know, he did say he's still producing the show. Like, wouldn't you be like,
no, but he's not doing anything
supportive of the show?
No, I don't know. No, I don't think so.
He's still executive producer.
He's going to be,
saying. But, you know, if you were executive producer of the show, you'd be like, hey, tune in to, but if you were president-elect and producer, executive producer of The Apprentice, usually you'd be worried about the safety. I mean, he fucking signed with Julian Assange. Do you like my French accent? Assange. I mean, that's who he sides with?
But
what the fuck is wrong with him?
But while the ratings are in and Schwarzenegger got swamped or destroyed, I still can't quite figure out why he doesn't, why didn't just say destroyed by comparison to the ratings machine, that's himself. Then, you know, so much for being a movie star. He apparently hated him because he supported Kasich and Hillary. But
that's normal.
I mean, but this
what
is
about how
just
Hillary and Bill are going to the fucking inauguration?
What is that? How angry do you get about that?
You know, that really makes me cringe.
I mean, I understand why Bill Clinton goes, because he's a former president and you have to.
Right.
But she is under no obligation to go.
Right. She's under no obligation to go. And
she's not.
So
she's moved
classy.
Beyond former and, first lady, it seems to me.
Right.
Or that's the argument, right? I mean, that was the argument for her election. I mean, that's the thing I find, like, she doesn't have to go. And
there are certain isn't there a congresswoman from Massachusetts who's not going?
I'm sure there's a lot of people who are not.
Yeah. Good. Yes, yes.
And if former presidents could miss this guy's, you know, being nominated the candidate of their party, I think it's, she sees it as some type of obligation, according to Jennifer Palmieri, who was on because she was first lady. But, I don't know if I buy that.
After, you know, he's, you know, the shit he said about her and that he's going to put her in jail and she's got to stand there while he,
I can't
getting sworn in.
I can't imagine it's going to be enjoyable for her, and I think she knows that. And
right.
I think on some level she thinks what she's doing. I think what she's doing is good for the country. But on some level, that's the problem, isn't it? That how is that good for the country?
Right. It's saying I don't all these protocols that even with George W. Bush, you know, these things that people did because that's the way we've historically have done it should not apply to this motherfucker because he has nothing.
And not just him. They didn't hold confirmation hearings for the last Supreme Court justice. I could go on and on about the sort of the actual governing real rubber meets the road, you know, traditions that are important, you know, the pomp and circumstance, F that. I mean, her not going is not, you know, indicative of a non-peaceful transition. It is indicative of heartfelt politics that go beyond, you know, performative actions to hail the new president. And I don't know, it makes all her rhetoric on the campaign trail pretty freaking hollow, it seems to me.
Right. I don't. I wish she wouldn't go either. I really do. Why would I wish she wouldn't go? But she is. I mean, she must be so fucking strong. I'm not kidding. I mean, could you fucking do that? I'd be giving him the finger the whole time.
Maybe she will be. Maybe she will be. Maybe she'll be holding, like, maybe she can have one of those things where you put your hand muffs. You know those hand muffs, like where you put your hands in?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe she'll be like double fisting, giving him the finger underneath there.
Fucking asshole. He's such a fucking asshole. I mean, what do we have, 15 days?
Yeah.
We have 15 days, and
I hope she has a huge coughing fit while he's trying to take the oath. How awesome would that be? my Parkinson's.
Oh my God, that would be so great. Or she should fart, really smelly fart. Did you see Mitch McConnell? He's so attractive. Did you see him talking about how they're not going to allow the Democrats to stop a confirmation for a Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean,
right? Insane.
Honestly, how did they do that without? I mean, do they believe this shit? Do they believe the shit that's coming out of their mouth?
Republicans right now are cutting the microphones of Democratic members on C-SPAN of members of Congress who object to the Electoral College, according to Michael Flynn.
No way.
I mean, Michael Moore, rather.
They're cutting the microphones?
Yeah. I mean, they do this, and it's not the first time something like this has happened. But
right.
This is the crap that it's going to be. I mean, the upshot is that the one thing that is different from the Bush years is that there's
right.
this level of resistance and resistance from day one. You know, I mean, like during the Bush
right.
years, it took literally like. And part of it was because of 9/11, but even in those
right.
first 9 months of the Bush administration, it was, you know, I took the election, I think, a little more obsessively and harder than most, and certainly in, you know,
the
sort
Bush
of
the, one?
Yeah, and certainly in the world
I think I did too.
In the world that we lived in, you know, there was a lot of people who I just felt like thought I had just gone over the deep end.
Right.
And maybe I had, but,
right.
You know, it's not hard to find people who are as angry as you are and I am about Donald Trump at this point. I mean, I don't feel as isolated as I did then.
I don't. That's exactly how I feel. And I was on the Homeland Security, you know, list because I called him a name at a fundraiser for Howard Dean. But,
oh, is that right? Did you have trouble flying?
Oh, my God. You know, now I have it because I have the fake knee. But, yeah. Oh, I was like, can you step aside? I'm like, oh, my God. I did. It was a fucking show. But, and I got death threats and everything. But, you know, that really got to me, too, George W. Bush. But this, you know, I still feel like... I still know that Obama's president right now, that he can't do anything, you know, but that's only 15 more days that he can't do anything.
I know.
And so that's the scariest part for me. And I mean, but I feel like we do have so many people who are ready to resist. I mean, we need a Tea Party movement, just like, you know, the Tea Party who took over the Republican Party. Had. That's what we need. The Democrats need like a fucking cappuccino movement or something.
Yeah, I don't know if
get
I would
a cappuccino
call it.
Tea.
Yeah, no.
That I'm funny.
There was actually an organization that tried to start a coffee party.
But
coffee
that wasn't
party.
Democratic.
Oh, right.
That was like
more
some centrist nonsense.
Yeah. No, I think
oh,
we
right.
can come
yeah,
up with
yeah.
a little better than the Tea Party.
Yeah, we got to do another. We should do, you know, it should be like almond milk or some fucking lactose intolerant bullshit, you know, vegan.
Coconut
vegan.
And almond milk.
feel like that might start us off like at a deficit. But you know,
can Judy? Can you give me a little more Kellyanne? Is that possible? I really like the impression.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
President Trump said that he wants to merge the CIA with the Russian FSB, and then he called a kid in a wheelchair a retard. Isn't that a little rough, Kelly?
Actually, Michael, I'm glad you brought this up because this has been going on and on and been erroneously reported, Michael. So what actually happened, Michael, is he did not directly speak to anyone in a wheelchair. That is did not happen. And we will have more information on that in the coming days. He will be addressing that, Michael, at his press conference on January 11th. And as far as the KGB and the CIA, this is something he is discussing with Mr. Putin, Michael, that some people believe that an adversarial relationship with the Russians, Michael, is not the way to go, Michael. And this is something Mr. Trump has been really thinking about, really marinating on, Michael, marination. And he is going to have a measured response. He is getting all the information.
I hear
measured response.
I hear that.
Yes.
President Obama's white half makes him like an Asian guy, which is why he's smart. I mean, that's a pretty explosive thing to say for an incoming president.
That is something, Michael, I have not heard. I will be getting, I've been doing, you know, I've been just going from one show to another show, and I haven't had the time to really, so that is something I cannot comment on, Michael, but I will be sure to look at that as soon as I leave here, Michael. And I don't know if you've noticed that my phone is sitting right in front of me, Michael.
I think we may have to, like...
It needs to be regular.
We have to do this on a regular basis.
Yes, Sam. Oh. Sam, yes. yes.
Where did you... Why is it that you... Kelly Conway, the logo behind you always is this... like this sort of this mashup between a Donald Trump logo and the presidency logo. I mean, isn't that a little bit odd that you've actually built Donald Trump's name into the presidential logo?
That's a great question, Sam. As you know, Mr. Trump has been an incredibly successful and enviable businessman, and Mr. Trump knows something, Sam, about branding, and that is not a political move. Branding, Sam, is something that is very important in aspects of every career. Every political person has some sort of brand, and
but it's okay.
Mr.
It's
Trump's
a president-elect
is,
Donald Trump logo. But do you intend to have like a logo specifically for Donald Trump as the president? Like the presidential seal is supposed to be timeless, or I should say, you know, not a function of who's in office, about the institution rather than the person.
Sam, that is historically been what has happened. As you know, Mr. Trump is not a typical politician. He's not a politician at all, Sam. He is absolutely. He is who the people wanted to be president. He was voted
well, but not
in,
everybody.
By
I
a
mean,
very
not,
large margin on not, the Electoral College.
That's not true.
Sam, I am going to have to disagree with you.
But that's not
true. He did win in a very large amount of electoral votes.
Well, but he was in the bottom quintile.
Defeated Hillary Clinton. And if you look at Hillary Clinton's emails, Sam, they also, at the bottom of Hillary Clinton's emails, there was a logo, HRC, with an arrow. Now, that is her brand, and this is the president-elect's brand. And this is something that
Kelly, you know I love
most politicians, Sam, use some sort of identification for themselves. Make America great again, Sam. That is also
Is that going to be an official United States presidential? Are we going to put that on our money?
Sam, that's very funny, and you people enjoy making your sarcastic comments. But he is the president elect. Oh, he will be president.
This is morphing
days, Sam.
From amazing to terrifying,
scaring us.
He will be our president, Sam, and that's something that you and all your constituents or listeners, as you call them, are going to have to deal with.
As I call
and
them.
Mr. He is qualified to be president. If he wasn't qualified, I don't think that so many Americans would have voted for him. I don't think he would have won the Electoral College by the most anyone has ever in the history of the world won by the Electoral College. He has won more Electoral College votes than any person in college. And, I will be getting my jaw fixed under the new Obamacare, the new health plan. We need to get Trump care. We need to get rid of this, and we do have something. And unlike the past president, Obama, we are not going to put it all out there and say, this is where we're going to invade, and this is what we're going to do. Mr. Trump likes to keep things to himself, and when he is ready, Sam, he will tweet that, and he will tweet what he thinks. Sam, let's not forget, Sam, that he has 18.7 million followers on Twitter, and 40.8 million on all other social media. And social media is the future, Sam. How many followers do you have, Sam?
I have less. All right, Judy, please. Now it's getting into now I'm getting nauseous.
It's uncanny.
I mean, it's just ridiculous, the shit she fucking says.
Uh-oh.
Sam, I am unable. Sam, what happened, Sam?
We just got a tweet today from Sean Hannity. Okay, this is interesting.
Oh, yes.
I love this now. So Joe Scarborough tweets out, Trump is dead wrong on Russia. And I've always said it. What you state here is misleading at best. At worst, a lie at worst. Give it up. So this is someone named Brian Fallon, I guess, had written something, had written, you routinely treated leaked reports about Clinton as fact. Now bad report for Trump emerges, and you don't seem to care. So Scarborough responds, and then Sean Hannity writes, Joe, is it a betrayal and repulsive that you keep asking Fox to hire you without telling your current employer?
Uh-oh. I've never been more impressed with Sean Hannity. That's good.
Hannity's feeling his oats, right? I mean, Megyn Kelly's gone now. He was on the Trump train early. He's feeling like he's got to be on top of the world.
Actually, Sam, he is. And Sam, I think what you're saying, I think what he is saying is actually the exact opposite of what you think he is saying. And that is what is wrong with the media. The media has not been kind, Sam. And Sam, this is something that we are going to deal with. This is something that is going to be addressed. But it is something that needs to be addressed, Sam, when in 15 days, when the president-elect will be having a press conference, when the president-elect will be sworn in, Sam. Mm. And as you know, on January 11th, he will be having a 3.5-minute press conference where he will be open to any and all questions. As you know, Hillary Clinton didn't have a press conference for 55 years when she was not the Secretary of State. So for those 55 years, she never had a press conference.
Judy, we got to go.
You. Well, that's fine. And
it has been so great. Thank you. This has been so
I love you.
Cathartic. Let's do this again, and we'll bring back, oh my God, your Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne, I'll do Kellyanne. I can't fucking believe they're cutting off the fucking microphones. I'm going to fucking cut his microphone off during the swearing in.
I think Judy is trying to get back on that list.
Yeah, she's doing a good job.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not. All right, 9 minutes at Fort Lauderdale Airport.
Talk to you later, Judy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Love and you. I'll be back in 15 days, guys. And my husband's dick doesn't fit in my mouth because I have an underbite. Good night.
Judy Gold, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only way that you should ever leave a radio program.
Yes. That is a perfect end.
You should never.
What I love about Judy, not that joke in particular, I did not think of that one, but there are times, particularly when Judy's on, because it prompts my mind in a certain direction. I think of a joke and I go, ooh, I probably shouldn't say that. That might be a little bit much. And then Judy says it.
We got an email. Someone says, I can't call her. I am. Just wanted to comment that I think Clinton is going to show that she's not afraid of him. She's a former first lady, belongs there as much as he does. Hopefully she'll go to the Women's March on Saturday. Yeah, I just think that she could make a, I think it's actually, I mean, I think not going, you know, also shows that she's not afraid of him. Like, I don't have to go to your little formal, your little inauguration. I don't know. I don't mean to make
many more people came to celebrate Obama's inauguration than yours. Sad.
Right.
She should just live tweet insults.
Live tweet the whole thing.
No marquee performers. Very pathetic showing.
Compare with Obama.
Yet Beyonce still wants to perform for me. Sad. If Hillary Clinton did that, I would like her.
Oh, my God. How awesome would it be if she just tweeted out, like, looks like the inaugural camera adds 20.
Orange in January. Always knew Donald Trump was a total mess, but this bloated? Even worse since election. Right. Sad.
Super sad. All right. I guess it's going to be a freebie Friday today, right?
The host will be with you.
No, let's go. We're going to go. And we'll just the extra. Folks, you can become a member of the Majority Report by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. Or you can gift the membership to somebody by going to majoritygift.com. You can gift them a month for 10 bucks. You can give them 12 months for 10 months, 10 bucks a month for 12 months. There's so much you can do, ladies and gentlemen. Also, give us a review on iTunes and give us a call, 646-257-3920, going into the fun half right now. See you on Monday, or in just a moment.